The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A reminder, it is finally here, draft days. Today, we've got every pick once again live on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on NFL Network and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins tonight at 8 Eastern with all 3 days live on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, with me and Kevin Negandhi.
Yes.
And the ESPN app. Speaking of which, hi, hello. You're probably wondering, wait, is it 6 p.m.? Did I oversleep? You did not. Kevin Negandhi, L. Duncan, we normally host the 6 p.m. Sports Center. We're sliding in because, of course, Greeny is in Cleveland hosting the draft. What do we have coming up on this edition of Get Up?
A ton of football, of course, and a surprise. It's time to get up with the day football fans have been waiting for. We think we know who will go 1 and 2, but the rest of the NFL draft is a beautiful mystery. The best experts have their best guesses ahead. Speaking of mysteries, what will the Falcons do at 4? Take a quarterback, help their current guy, or wheel and deal? Answers in moments. And Dak knows what the Cowboys need tonight, and his reasoning makes a ton of sense. What's on the Cowboys' wish list? You'll hear it. Get Up starts right now. And where is that clock? Now we are inside 11 hours. As the countdown continues to the NFL draft tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN and ABC. And this morning, thank you, Todd McShay.
Right,
releasing his final mock draft. And the big shocker, Trey Lance going 3rd to the 49ers. You see Justin Fields going 9th to L's Broncos. And how about that? Mac Jones dropping into the lap at 15 to the Patriots. NFL insider Adam Schefter back with us here on Get Up. Let's start with the pivot point of the draft. What is the latest on the Niners and what they may do with that number 3 pick?
That's the decision that everybody's waiting for right now, Kevin. And what they do will help dictate the next dozen or so picks, because if they go Trey Lance, then where does Mac Jones and Justin Fields go? If they go Trey Lance, then where does Justin Fields and Trey Lance go? Again, it's all contingent on that number 3 overall pick and what happens from there. And I can tell you that Trey Lance has closed the gap on Mac Jones in the last few weeks, to the point where over the weekend, the 49ers were undecided about which quarterback to take. Now, they've made their decision. The decision is in. They are just playing it close to the vest and not telling anybody what that decision is about which quarterback they will draft tonight. And it's two different types of quarterbacks with two different offensive approaches, with two different philosophies, and it's just a question of what the 49ers head coach, Kyle Shanahan, ultimately wants to do in the end. But yes, they've made a decision. They're not sharing it. It'll be either Trey Lance or Mac Jones. We'll find out tonight, 8 o'clock, ESPN, ABC, Kevin.
You mentioned the dominoes falling behind them. How about the two ideas, the philosophies you mentioned? If they go with one, it's one way, another, it's a different way, and that affects the guy who's the starting quarterback right now, Jimmy G's future. What are you hearing about that right now?
Here's the situation as it is. The 49ers, I think, will get calls today from multiple teams, I'm told. There will be multiple teams that approach them about the idea of inquiring about Jimmy Garoppolo's availability. Do I think the 49ers would trade him for the right price? Do I think another team is going to give up the right price? I don't. Not right now. Now, they could bridge their differences in the next 24, 48 hours. But right now, they're not close to a deal. And I'm told the chances that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded are, in the words of one source, remote. Now, remote is not dead. Remote is not out of the question. But remote is such where I think it's basically a good characterization of where things are. Because the 49ers are content keeping him for this current season, but other teams will be calling to see if they could pry him loose.
The NFL draft, it is the best reality TV show, just to get us more prepped up and ready to go. And number 3, we'll see what happens with the Niners. Al, take it away.
Oh, we were so fired up when we got McShay's latest mock draft. We say hi, hello again to Ryan Clark. Shefty staying with us. And we say hello to Louis Riddick, who's joining us for this hour of Get Up. I'll start there with you, Lou. What happens if and when the Niners decide they don't want Mac Jones?
Well, if they decide they don't want Mac Jones, I think right then, you know, right off the bat, New England is going to jump right into the fray here, and they're going to be one of those teams that is going to be very aggressive, and they will move up. They will try and get into a position to go ahead and draft the guy who I think fits ideally how they want to play up there in New England from the quarterback position. That doesn't mean that they can't adjust, as they showed last year. They can adjust to any kind of quarterback depending upon his skill set. But I think ideally this is what they want to be. They want to be a drop-back type of team, put a lot of responsibility on the quarterback, and they feel as though Mac has that kind of DNA. He has that kind of upbringing. That's who he is as a quarterback, and I think that would fit ideally what they want to do. So, look, San Francisco can't go wrong with either one of these young men that they're talking about between him and Trey Lance, because Trey Lance is just spectacular. All these young quarterbacks are spectacular in their own right. And all the that's why there's so much intrigue at the top of this draft, and that's why so many teams are going to be so anxious to get into the top 10, get into the top 8, and see if they can get a hold of one of these guys.
RC, I mean, you hear Schefter say, Trey Lance has made the competition so tough that as of this weekend, they didn't know who they were going to take. I mean, they gave up 3 first-round picks. We thought weeks ago they obviously had that pick solidified, because why give up what you gave up if you didn't know for sure? Is that not a little bit reckless to make a move like that and still not know where you want to go?
You know what? You got to think about it sometimes.
Okay.
You got it. Yeah.
Good. It was not reckless. They traded up L. They traded up L with the objective, with the plan that they were going to take Mac Jones while leaving an open mind to see if they liked any of the other players. There was nothing reckless about it. They wanted and identified a quarterback. They traded up to go draft Mac Jones with the idea they were going to essentially do all their work on these other guys. And during that work, which is what they should be doing, they fell in love with Trey Lance as well. And now we'll see what they do. Ryan, take it away. I apologize for jumping in front of you.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, no. Nah, hey, man, you Adam Schefter, man. Right. Do your thing. I think the part that's crazy to me, L, is this, right? The San Francisco 49ers jump up, and now they've decided that, you know, maybe Trey Lance is closer to Mac Jones than he was at the beginning. But didn't we talk earlier about the reason that Justin Fields may be at least perceivably falling to us is because they're just diving in? So you mean to tell me you made this decision before you actually dove into the film to figure out who your guy truly is, if we're going to listen to the reasons a guy like Justin Fields falls? And so on the other side of that, the thing I came to the conclusion was, is sometimes you don't know who you want to be in a relationship, but you know who you don't want to be in one with. And I think that's how the San Francisco 49ers feel about Jimmy G. You know what? We're going to move up because either of these two guys are better than the dude we have. We feel like that's a significant upgrade over the quarterback that we have, and we're going to now move up and then make our decision. The other thing I'll say about Todd McShay's mock draft is this. At the beginning of this process, if you told us in January, right after the season ended, that you know what, Mac Jones is the first round quarterback, or right after the Senior Bowl, Mac Jones is a first round quarterback, and he's going to fall somewhere around 15 to the New England Patriots. You know what we all would have said at that point? Oh my gosh, that feels right. Mac Jones about a mid-first round guy. His talent's about a mid-first round guy. The New England Patriots drop back style, and it fits, right? You know why we're confused today? Because for the last 2.5 freaking months, y'all told me that the San Francisco 49ers moved up to 3 to draft freaking Mac Jones. But other than that,
they
would have been cool. So I'm blaming it on Adam Schefter, Todd McShay, and Mel Kiper.
He compliments him and then he blames
That's
him.
Okay. Ryan Clark says Mac Jones is just fine. Ryan Clark says Mac Jones is fine. And
there we go again.
That's
Shefty.
His official draft analysis.
I told you about that yesterday.
Just fine.
I told you about that yesterday, Shefty.
I do want to bring you in here, though, Lewis, because to his point, I think what's also shocking about McShay's is that not only does Mac Jones fall, but that Justin Fields is taken before him and that he would fall all the way to 15. It feels like, at least per McShay, and I'm sort of reading between the lines here, that he thinks Mac Jones is more of a system fit. Like, if he doesn't go to the Niners, which is the best system or the best fit for him, he's going to fall and be what we believe, to Ryan Clark's point months ago, that he is the 5th best quarterback available in this draft. Where do you think Mac Jones should go?
You know, I've been around this too long to know that, you know, I don't really know where I think he should go. I think this, because quarterback evaluation is so subjective anyway. What I feel as though is important to the position, 5 other people could say something totally different. Although I do know this, the greatest quarterback teachers that I know believe that decision-making and accuracy those two things, first and foremost, are a given. You have to have them. And no one has ever said that Mac Jones does not have great decision-making or great accuracy. It's what he really hangs his hat on. That's who he is. So it doesn't surprise me that Kyle Shanahan would want him or move up to three to take him if, in fact, he does take him, which I believe, you know, I believe that that's exactly what ultimately they are going to do. What I do want to say, though, is about this. When we say, is it irresponsible or any kind of discussion around, you know, should San Francisco take this all the way up to the 11th hour as far as making their decision? They absolutely should. If that means they change their mind today, they should absolutely take every single opportunity to evaluate the situation. Because, look, RC knows this very well. In 2004, when I was with Washington, we, the night before the draft, changed our top 100 list at the very top between 1 and 2. Joe Gibbs wanted to draft Kellen Winslow Jr., the second.
He wanted to draft him.
We had a big draft meeting the night before. Everyone was in there arguing up and down as to why we thought we should switch Sean Taylor and put him at the top of the top 100 list. The next morning we came in, the top 100 list was changed. The day of the draft. And we drafted Sean Taylor, who was on his way to becoming maybe the greatest safety of all time. So this, we may think that they need to do things a certain way. The way teams do things inside of their own building, though, is sometimes very different than what we talk about. And if they change their mind today at the last minute, it wouldn't shock me at all, because the reason that they do that is to get it right, not to appease any of us, which I think is something that would be wise for all teams to follow.
We certainly would prefer that, right? Like someone that's a little bit more nimble and willing to look across the landscape as opposed to someone that's like, this is it and this is what I'm going to do. Much more analysis coming up with these guys coming up. What should the Falcons do tonight? There's so much intrigue there at number 4. Should they get Matt Ryan some help like Kyle Pitts? Or should they think about drafting their 36-year-old quarterback's replacement? Do you think I know where I want to go? And when you had Tom Brady for 2 decades, you really didn't have to think about a quarterback. Bill Belichick does now. So will he make a move tonight to get one?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I believe in you. Believe I can. I will not. That's why I believe.
Oh, you better sign, Tori Kelly. Welcome back to Get Up. L. Duncan, Kevin Negani, hanging in here for Greeny. Let's talk about the Falcons. One of the biggest questions heading into tonight is, what are the Falcons going to do with that number 4 overall pick? Yesterday, GM Terry Fontenot explained what the franchise is looking for in that 4th overall pick.
When you're picking at 4, we're trying to take an impact player, whether it's a player that's going to sit or a player that's going to play right away. We want to bring in an impact player that fits the culture, that has the right makeup, and we have a clear vision for that player. We understand we have to add quarterbacks to the roster, and there's a lot of good ones and a lot of good options.
Okay, he just gave us a lot of like pre-draft cliche words, impact That's player, good. Culture
he's
guy.
Good.
Yeah, very
he's
good.
He's new at it, but he's good.
He already knows what to do. Dan, what are you hearing that the Falcons are going to do with that pick?
My understanding is there was some discussion early in the process about a quarterback, but that since then they've moved toward maybe we can get the quarterback later and stick with Matt Ryan for a couple years, build around him, take Kyle Pitts at number 4, or ideally somebody gives us some crazy offer to move up into the 4th spot and then we trade back and get more players. But I think if they stay put, it's a lot more likely to be Kyle Pitts than a quarterback.
Who many people are saying behind Trevor Lawrence is the most gifted player in this draft? We've seen Mel Kiper gave him the highest draft grade he's ever given a tight end. I do want to bring in Louis Riddick here and Dan Orlovsky, and I'll start with you, Dan. I mean, listen, I said it, and I'm not trying to be petty here, but Tom Brady had won 3 rings before the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. They were at least thinking about the next phase, the future of the franchise, when Matt Ryan moved. Matt Ryan hasn't done any of those things, yet here we stand. He doesn't even have a backup. Do you not think the Falcons should be thinking about the future under center there?
I think it's a fair question to say, yes, Atlanta, is it worthy of you addressing the quarterback spot at 4 this year? That is absolutely fair because of Matt Ryan's age and his contract situation. I think, at the end of the day, Atlanta has to ask themselves, if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and that does matter what San Francisco does and who they take, is it better for Atlanta to take the 4th quarterback this year or take Kyle Pitts, who everyone believes is going to be an incredible player in the NFL? What is more likely, that Kyle Pitts becomes that player that all of us believe he will, or that 4th quarterback becomes, you know, a transcendent franchise-changing guy? And whether, I know teams slot their quarterbacks differently, and just because he's the 4th quarterback drafted doesn't mean that they believe he's the 4th quarterback, but I think it's a fair question to ask. And also, I think it's important to point out what Arthur Smith did for Ryan Tannehill. You know, Ryan Tannehill was a bust. Everyone had casted him off when he went from Miami to Tennessee. And all of a sudden, Arthur Smith gets a hold of him, starts to develop him, and understands what he does really well, and he becomes a top 10 player in the league. And so I do believe that you can point to a coach and say, that guy can take a lot of quarterbacks and make them good players.
So it's sort of the approach of facing the monster you know is sort of what you're saying, right, as it relates to Matt Ryan. Lewis, what do you think? As a guy that was a player and also a front office guy, are you thinking about the prospect of how good this offense could be with Julio Jones, right, Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts on it, or are you thinking about the future and potential? There's a lot of needs on this team. So do you think that that is the most pressing need as another weapon on offense?
Yeah, what I'm thinking about, L, is how do I close the gap on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How do I become a contender in the South and in the NFC overall to try and win championships? And in order to do that, I have to think both short and long term. Look, I understand the fascination with Kyle Pitts. As a former defensive player, I would have kind of like just said, hey, you can deactivate me today because I can't cover that guy. He just has too much for me from a physical perspective. But that being said, hey, look, Terry Fontenot has to understand that what's coming up in the future here from a salary cap perspective is a problem for this football team. They're in a salary cap crunch right now. So what does that mean? That means after the 2021 season, going into 2022, they have a way to get out of Matt Ryan's contract and save some money on the salary cap. And he's going to be 36 in 2022. And if they draft a quarterback who happens to be there at number 4 that they do like, then they have, 1, the cap savings from Matt Ryan not being there. 2, future years with a quarterback on a rookie contract who may be even better than what Matt Ryan would be potentially at 36 and 37 years old, because we don't know what Matt will be at that point in time. I know Tom Brady's going to play till he's 100. I know Aaron Rodgers is going to play till he's 150. And I know quarterbacks now are going to play until they're 200 years old. But the fact is, you have to start planning for the future. And on top of it, they need defensive players because they're going nowhere with the defense they have right now. Absolutely nowhere. So I think that's a lot to digest. What does it lead me to? I think I would take the quarterback, especially if the one is there at 4 that I like.
Look, Arthur Blank's always been enamored with the Patriot way, which is to move on 1 year early before it's too late. That ship has certainly sailed, but Patriots talk has not. For more on that, let's get over to Kevin.
You mentioned the Patriots way, and let's take a look here at Todd McShay's final mock, and he has Mac Jones being the 5th quarterback off the board and falling to number 15 into the lap of Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. A lot of people think it's between Jones and Trey Lance for the Niners at number 3. McShay has Lance going in that spot. Let's bring in Dan Graziano, Lewis Riddick, and RC back with us. And Graz, first off, what are you hearing about the Patriots? Because they're not a team. I mean, again, he's falling in their lap, but they still want to get a quarterback. They're not a team that often moves up in the draft to acquire offensive picks.
No, but for years they had a 6th-round pick playing as the best quarterback of all time, so they didn't have to. We have been told that the Patriots have done some discussing with teams in the top 10 about potentially moving up for a quarterback. They aren't alone. There are other teams that are trying to get up higher to take a quarterback, maybe in some cases to take a player at a different position, but New England has at least inquired with some of the teams ahead of them about what it would take to move up for a quarterback. Which quarterback would that be? Depends who you talk to. It seems like the people I've talked to the last couple days think that Justin Fields may be their guy if he falls toward them. But, notoriously difficult to know for sure what the Patriots are doing. I do know that they have at least
looked into the idea of trading up for a quarterback.
RC, what do you think the Patriots should do tonight after spending $165 million in guaranteed money on free agents this offseason?
I think the Patriots should continue to be one of the smartest organizations in sports. If you look at what they did in free agency, everybody kind of talks about the spending frenzy, but it really wasn't. They got good deals for good guys that they felt fit on their team in the places that they needed them. And that's how they should approach this draft. They have done their due diligence on the five quarterbacks. And I believe that there is a guy that they feel, if this guy falls to me or if he gets close enough, we make a move for him. If that's not the dude, I don't believe you do it. I don't believe you strap your organization to a quarterback for the next 3, 4 to 5 years that you don't truly want. I just want you guys to think about this. Over 2 decades ago, a soft body, smart, accurate quarterback fell from the top of the first round to the 199th pick. 2 decades later, you got 6 Super Bowls. So maybe this time, another soft-bodied, very accurate, very smart quarterback falls like 12 picks from 3 to 15. And maybe you got 6 more. Patriots, do what you always do. Pick the right guy.
Dan doesn't appreciate that when you mention soft body, then we see him pop up on the screen because the Peloton is working for Gross, all right? I know that for a fact. Dan, I've got your back here. All right, Lewis, when you look at this team, too, and the construction of this roster, I think people often forget. Down year last year, but they had a ton of key players opt out on the defensive side. So what should the Patriots do if they can't move up for a quarterback?
If they can't move up, then they'll just sit pat and take best player available. I'm sure Bill has a few players, not just quarterback, that he has on his list. They notoriously work with a smaller draft board than many other people. So I think he'll just sit pat, see what player falls to him, and he'll make the best choice for the football team relative to what he thinks they need. Simple as that.
Okay, we will see how this continues to play out because, again, if Mac Jones falls at 15, I think we'll hear the entire country, at least in 31 cities, groan because it fell. A quarterback fell to them at 15. Hey, all the talk this morning, guys, have been surrounding Todd McShay's mock. Mel Kiper's mock is in, and it's not the same. Al, we've got some surprises coming your way.
Cage match?
But first, a little sneaky hembo time here with Graziano. Which NFL franchise has drafted number one overall the most times? Let it marinate.
I think I got it.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back here on Get Up, Ellen, Kevin here for you as Greeny's getting ready for the draft tonight. Which NFL franchise has drafted number one overall the most times? Hembo and Graz, the battle continues.
Came up last year because the Bengals had the pick. So I was sitting here thinking, well, is it the Bengals? But it didn't seem right. And I'm thinking about other possible teams like Tampa Bay. Then all of a sudden, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck popped into my head. And I thought, it's got to be the Baltimore/Indianapolis Colts.
Got him!
Oh!
Nice! And this was playing out in real time during a commercial break. He had something, and literally 3 seconds before we popped on, the light bulb went on. Oh, look at the latest.
Taking the extra point, baby.
I love this battle going on between Hembo and Graziano. Hey, let's run the hurry up right now. Let's take a look at some key factors and key points in this draft. Let's start with the Cowboys' plans.
The Cowboys' plans are to build their defense, right, and take an impact defensive player at number 10. Mm-hmm. Now, the plan last year was to take defense, and CeeDee Lamb fell to them. So things could always change, but as of now, I would expect one of the cornerbacks to be there for them, J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. Most likely Horn, I think, for the Cowboys at 10 if they stay put.
How about this? The Packers plan, that beautiful mystery.
I mean, where the Packers pick, it's tough, right? You don't know who's going to be available. They have done some work on some wide receivers. This is Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. I know he's a guy that they've been interested in. They could go offensive line there. They don't know what the deal is with Bakhtiari and when he'll be back. And long-term, they have issues there. But, yeah, I mean, if they take a receiver, what are we be talking about tomorrow? Oh, they finally got Aaron Rodgers.
Bateman's honestly a great pick at 29 value-wise. How about the Eagles?
Well, the Eagles, they need playmakers on both sides of the ball, as you well know. I think, you know, Jalen Waddle is of interest to them. They always like that speed receiver. I've been told over the last couple days that they've done some work on maybe trying to trade up, get ahead of the Giants, make sure they can get Waddle, make sure the Giants don't snag him before they can, like Mike Tannenbaum was talking about earlier. So either that or maybe if they stay put, one of the cornerbacks.
All right, so that could be a turning point there in the teams. We'll see how it plays out. But there could be a huge turning point at 3. Todd McShay so far this morning on his latest mock. He has Trey Lance going to the Niners. Elle's got more on this.
We've got a big one just dropped on our lap. Mel Kiper Jr.'s rebuttal to Todd McShay, also known as his final mock draft. And he not only doesn't have Trey Lance going to the Niners, he has Mac Jones there. He has the Patriots trading up to number 7, which would mean that they would have to make a trade with the Lions to take Trey Lance. Okay, that's where they differ. They think Trey Lance, Todd McShay thinks Trey Lance is going to go to the Patriots. He thinks that Bill Belichick is going to do something that he has never done, draft a quarterback in the first round, move up to draft a quarterback in the first round. I'm going to start with you, Lewis Riddick, your reaction to Mel Kiper.
I love it. I love it. Look, I do think that the 49ers are going to stay locked in on Mac Jones. I mean, now watch, they'll pick Trey Lance. But I think they're going to stay locked in on Mac Jones, and they're going to pick him. And we're going to talk about that for about 2 or 3 more months, and the fan base out there is going to lose their mind. But I think as far as Trey Lance is concerned, I think Adam hit on a very important thing that I have heard the same as I continue to talk to people. Look, Trey, from having met him too up there at North Dakota State during his pro day, this kid is, I'm telling you, he is wired right. He has all of what you're looking for at quarterback other than, you know, the number of starts that ideally you would like. As far as his football intellects, his football smarts, the amount of responsibility they gave him, his leadership, his toughness, his physical skills, That is something. I know how Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick look at this position. I know from the neck up they value certain things. And if they feel, if Trey Lance is there and San Francisco passes on him, with the way Trey has been nailing this pre-draft process from a football intellect standpoint, and I've heard nobody say anything otherwise, I could see this move happening 100 out of 100 times if they can get the right deal in place to move up and take him. I think him or Mac Jones would be the two guys they're going to try and get.
Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, touching on Trey Lance, I haven't heard a single good thing about Trey Lance. Everything is great. It's all like, no one speaks even good about him. Everything you hear about Trey Lance is how great of a player he is, how great of a player he's got the potential to become, how great of a leader he is, how smart he is. I said this story a couple weeks ago, that, you know, he would organize Thursday night throwing sessions as a freshman in college. I mean, the amount of confidence that you have in your ability to go into a program that has a history of success like NDSU and organize Thursday night throwing sessions, that says a lot about a player. And I think if he does not go 3, that's when those teams like New England and Pittsburgh and Chicago and Washington are chomping at the bit. And they're going, that's the guy that we really wanted. And that's the player that we think can go be great. We have to go move. And if it costs us another first, it costs us another first. Who cares? Go get your quarterback.
Let me flip this question a little bit for you, RC. Let's say you're Trey Lance and you're watching our show right now, because, of course, what else would you be doing today? And you see on one mock draft you're going to the Niners and on the other you're going to New England. If you're Trey Lance, where would you prefer to go? What's the better fit? Because, yeah, you got the Josh McDaniels factor. Talking about Niners team that's yoked. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think you lose there either way. And we've talked so much about position and where you fall and what the organization is. If you go to San Francisco, you are happy as hell. You go to New England, you are just as happy. But I think the thing that I've learned, or just the thing that struck me, was that Trey Lance is kind of the one. Obviously, we all know Trevor Lawrence. We understand Zach Wilson. But Trey Lance seems to be the domino or the chess piece that changes the draft, right? Because on one hand, if Mac Jones is not drafted 3rd, we feel, or people feel, or Todd McShay feels, he will fall all the way to 15. If Trey Lance is not drafted 3rd, Mel Kiper believes that he's nailed this process so much that someone will move up to get him. And I think that says more about Trey Lance than anyone else in this draft, because he's had the least amount of starts, the least amount of opportunity. We know the least about him, but just in talking to him, just in learning more about him, people have seemed to like him more. He's grown on these teams because of his intellect. And when I hear he's grown because of his intellect, his leadership, and then you do understand the physical tools, this guy seems like someone that really can't miss. Maybe he takes a while to develop, but it's his upside, the upside we should be talking about, that makes him a potential all-time great.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think he's got the highest ceiling and potentially the lowest floor. I'm interested in that. It feels sometimes like recency bias. Like, it feels like Trey Lance knew he needed to hold a second pro day after everybody else had their pro day, what, 8, 9, 10 days ago, so that he would be fresh on everyone's mind as we move into the draft. Lewis, do you think that some of the volatility that we're seeing in terms of who's a favorite from day to day comes from the fact that some of these teams can't do the same sort of due diligence that they would have in pre-COVID times?
I think that could possibly be part of it. You know what, Elle? I think also this, because the pre-draft cycle was so long, that I think as we move through this process, we, meaning the people who are talking about it on TV for a living, we kind of like contribute to that volatility naturally, because, you know, we're intrigued about, you know, some of the reports that are coming out from these different pro days. And when you see a Trey Lance have a second pro day, you go, oh my God. And then we see him throw the football, we go, now he has to be the best quarterback. And then if Zach Wilson throws this, wow, did you see that throw that Zach Wilson just made? And then when Justin goes, man, you see how fast Justin is, you see him throw the football.
Right.
I think overall inside of buildings, it's a little more even keel. Although they are not immune at all to changing their minds either, as I had laid out what happened to us in Washington. I mean, they're human beings too. They have emotions too about this. They change their minds too. I think they have all along had the people that they like, but there's no question that as this process has gone on, Trey Lance in particular is blowing people away with the way he conducts himself.
Dan?
I can't hear you, but I'm talking. I think two things. Picking a quarterback is like picking a spouse, okay? Like, it is. And there's different things that are going to be intriguing to different organizations. That's a big point. And the second thing is this. The reality is what will determine if these guys become great and what they should become, we don't know about. And that's why it is important to spend time with these guys. What is their character? How are they on a day-to-day basis? You know, the lonely work that is going to be necessary for them to go be great. Guys like us on television, we don't get that time with those guys, okay? And that's the stuff that is really going to determine if they go become great players or not.
By the way, I can't hear you, but I'm still talking would be the name of my book if I had
an
autobiography.
That was solid.
I don't know what you said, but it's my turn. Stand by, guys. Much more Kevin coming up.
Well, I can't hear you, but I'm talking
right
now. The Professional Fighters League regular season rolls on tonight with the welterweights and light heavyweights at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes and the app. Coverage of the undercard begins 5:30 Eastern on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. You know, Dak gave his draft wish list last night, what the Cowboys quarterback wants, and if Jerry Jones will give it to him. This is Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
L. Duncan, Kevin DeGondi, back with you on Get Up. Let's play a game of who's drafted first. I'm going to start with Dan Graziano. Who's drafted first? Orlovsky, rather. Trey Lance or Justin Fields?
There we go. I think it'll be Trey Lance. I think that the intrigue of his talent level is so high. And then the more people have gotten time to spend with him, they've realized the makeup that he has, the character that he has, and the ownership that he did on the football field was such a big deal and how well he's been coached. I think both these players are close, but I think it ends up being Trey Lance.
How about the receiving crew, Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle? Who's drafted first, RC?
You know what? I like to say Devontae Smith. When you look at the season he was able to have, and you could kind of compare him to a guy like Justin Jefferson. But, man, when you see Jalen Waddle and you think of a guy like Tyreek Hill and you look at that explosion, the way that changes the game both at the wide receiver position and return game, you really never know. I think it's going to be on a team's preference in what type of wide receiver they want.
All right, and lastly, Lewis Riddick, who is going first from the DBs, Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn?
Yeah, I'm going to go with J.C. Horn, L. I just think, look, the NFL is about third down and 4-6, third down and 4-7. And when you get in those kind of situations, it's about manning guys up and seeing if you can kind of lock them down one-on-one and either get the PBU or get the interception. And I think J.C. is just the guy who can do that, and he'll match up with all the different kind of wide receivers in the NFL, maybe slightly better than Patrick, although Patrick's going to have a great career.
They both are, and both have been linked to the Cowboys, who quite obviously, with that number 10 pick, need to pick a defensive player, despite the fact that Jerry Jones has been publicly flirting with Kyle Pitts. Dak Prescott had to say about what he thinks they need to do in the draft, and it was plain.
I think it'll be a heavy defensive draft for us. And, I mean, you just look on the offensive side at the weapons we got. I mean, we've got Amari Cooper. We've got Blake Jarwin coming back from an injury. We've got CD coming in his second year. Michael Gallup, who I think is going to have the biggest year of his career yet. And obviously Zeke is in the backfield. And I just think it's obvious you go defense, and we would just make our team better over on that side.
Sounds like a quarterback saying, please, we're good on offense. Somebody stop the other team. Let's bring back our fellas here. Lewis, let's start with you. What do you expect the Cowboys to do here at 10? Because in the past, especially even last year, CeeDee Lamb fell in their lap. They went with the best player on the board instead of a need.
Yeah, man, I think they need to do well. What will they do? I don't know. It's Jerry Jones's team, so I don't know what they will do. Okay, what should they do? They should do exactly what their franchise quarterback is saying. Look, I tweeted this morning. I said, tonight's the time to build teams. There's a big difference between building a team and collecting talent, Kev. And although I know best player available kind of sounds like you're just collecting talent, I think you also need to do that within reason, because it doesn't really matter if you have weapons, you know, weaponry. You have Kyle Pitts and you have this guy and you have CD and you have Amari and you have all, and Michael Gallup. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're winning, if you're having to score 48 points to win, which is not sustainable. It's not sustainable to play at that high a level over and over and over. Even last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what ultimately won them a Super Bowl? Defense, running the football. Controlling the clock. The kind of things that we talk about all the time, but people say, well, no. You throw the football to win, and you run it to, you know, preserve the lead, etc. There are certain tenets in football that are always going to remain true, and defense is always going to be something that you better invest in heavily. And I'll tell you this. Look, I know Ryan Clark is sitting there, and he knows that how much, you know, we're defensive players by heart. But I know this. Dallas better take care of that defense. Otherwise, they're not going to do anything in the NFC. It's just that simple. So hopefully they get themselves an impact player on that side of the ball.
RC, though, we're talking about a billionaire on a billionaire yacht who can do whatever he wants, who has visions of sugar plums when he's talking to an NFL prospect. Any chance Jerry can help himself and trades up for Kyle Pitts?
Listen, you know, Dan Graziano was saying that Kyle Pitts doesn't get out of the top five or top six. And if he doesn't, then I don't think Jerry Jones does it, moves up. But if he gets out of the top six, I just don't know if Jerry's going to be able to contain himself on that yacht. I think, you know, he's even going to start to just feel and say, you know what? This is something that we just have to do. This is just too good. But you hope he stays at 10. You know, when I hear Dak Prescott talk, and I know you said, Kevin, it sounds like he's saying, you know, just stop somebody. We're good. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's them and not us. We are not the problem. We are not the issue. It's on the other side. He's begging Jerry Jones to fix it. And you fix it by starting at number 10 with J.C. Horn, putting him opposite Diggs on the other side, who you drafted last year in the second round. Jerry needs to make the right choice.
Dan, should cornerback be a priority there in your mind at 10?
I think that the Cowboys should hope that one of the quarterbacks fall to them, and then they take that quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm just playing. I'm just playing Cowboys fans.
I'm just joking,
okay?
I thought you meant to trade out.
I'm confused. No, I do think that they should hope that one of those quarterbacks falls, and then they could trade out. Guys, this defense, I said last spring this defense was doo-doo. They're still doo-doo, okay? This defense is still doo-doo. And this defense in the run game last year, Hembo gave me this stat. They gave up 3.5 yards per carry before contact. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave 3.5 yards per carry. Total. Okay? So they need to address the defense. And they should hope that a quarterback falls to them. Someone wants to go up, get that quarterback, get a bunch of picks so they can get a good 3 or 4 defensive players in the first 2 or 3 rounds in this draft.
But El knows they've got Dan Quinn. He's going to protect the doo-doo around him. All right. Yeah. By the way, that cutaway did look like assault body on Graziano, Dan. We've got to have you sit up properly.
Posture is really important. Well, we've got a special NBA Saturday night doubleheader for you on ESPN and the app. Steph and the Warriors play the Rockets at 7:30 Eastern. Then we've got Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets taking on Paul George. And the Clippers, remember that our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. If the draft starts at 3 and 4 with the Niners and Falcons picks, who are those teams taking? Lewis Riddick and Ryan Clark will tell us in minutes. This is Get Up, and it's continuing on.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hey, we've got a special NBA, or the draft, rather. We've got the draft. I'm talking about the NBA, but it's draft night. Remember, every single pick is live on ESPN, also on ABC and on the NFL Network. ABC, you're going to be able to see sort of the prospect's journey to the draft. That's great. Our first round coverage begins tonight at 8 Eastern with the host of this particular show, Greeny, hosting. And coming up as well, First Take. Mac Jones, where is he going to land in tonight's draft? We've got differing opinions on this from top to bottom. First Take's going to get into this in about 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
You mentioned differing opinions, boys. The setup there for Mel and Todd in the moment as we are counting down to the NFL draft. Just over 10 hours away from beautiful Cleveland. They're expecting 50,000 in attendance. And then I mentioned the differing opinions here. Todd McShay released his final mock first, and then Mel Kiper came in about an hour and a half later, and you see the difference there in the quarterback spots and where they go. It's time for DraftKings predictions. DraftKings is an official partner of the NFL, and this Thursday, all customers can play in a free NFL draft pool for a shot at $50,000 in total prizes. Answer a series of questions, get enough correct, and take home your share of $50,000. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the promo code Sleeper today. Are we ready for some predictions? This should get really good. And Lewis, let's start with you.
Let's go.
Who do you think the 49ers will pick at number 3?
I think it's going to be Mac Jones. I think they're going to circle back to the guy who presumably they had locked in on a couple of weeks ago. I think there's just certain things that quarterback coaches and head coaches and offensive play callers value. I think Mac has a lot of those. Look, his upside may not be as high as some of the other quarterbacks in this draft from an athletic standpoint, and he would admit that himself. But I think the quarterback position is about decision-making and accuracy and winning championships. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan is locked in on. I think they pick him at number 3, and we're going to find out here soon.
All right, take your turn as Miss Cleo RC. Who are the Falcons picking at 4?
I think it's going to be Kyle Pitts. They'll do everything they can to try to tease people and tantalize them to maybe get some draft picks and move back and stockpile some good players defensively. But Kyle Pitts is too good. He's right there. You add an instant impact player to that offense.
Let's go to Dan here, and that is Orlovsky. It feels weird saying this that the Patriots will pick at 15 tonight. I'm not sure if they're going to stay there. Who do you think they're going to end the night with?
I think the Patriots will go up and get Justin Fields from Ohio State. I think the Patriots realize where they are as an organization right now. They are obviously uncharacteristically aggressive in free agency. I think they'll be uncharacteristically aggressive in the draft and go, Justin Fields' talent is just too good to pass up on. They'll go get their quarterback of the future.
All right. Thank you for your predictions. Now we're going to, I guess, what we're doing here in studio isn't necessarily a prediction, but sort of is a prediction. We're going to do some of our headlines. What we assume on Friday morning are going to be dominating the headlines. And I'm going to start with you, Grassman. Yeah. What is your Friday morning headline?
Orlovsky just stole it from me. I didn't know. We're supposed to have a meeting, but he wasn't there. No, I think the Patriots go up for Field. I do think they're trying to go up, get a quarterback. Which one, again, depends who you talk to. But for my Friday headline, I'm going to say we'd be sitting here tomorrow talking about Justin Fields as the new quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Orlovsky was busy picking up the green jacket from dry cleaning.
Something.
That's
why
he's like doing.
Now, my headline, 4 for 4. We will see history with the NFL draft. The top four picks will feature four quarterbacks off the board. The question is, though, who's picking in the Falcons spot? Because I think a team's going to move up and draft a quarterback at number 4.
Subheadline, the Birds blow it again.
Oh, that, no doubt.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Can't wait to hear that analysis on the NFL Draft Radio Edition. And mine is the L-Star Tribune. WTF, WFT, Washington moves up to take a quarterback. I think, you know, there's so many teams that have a need, and it's no offense to Ryan Fitzpatrick or Taylor Heinicke, who I found out is from around where I'm from. You can't start the season with that. You're not going to be able to get away with winning that division solely based on defense this year. So I think one of those teams, Chicago, Washington football team, is going to sneak into that conversation and take a quarterback.
Ryan Fitzpatrick there right now. They won that division because of their defense a year ago, right?
But there was no Dak Prescott in that division. 100%
right. 100% right. By the way, we've got news and a follow-up. Darren Orlovsky, he has a message for you, Graz.
Oh, jeez.
He specifically said, shut up, Dan. Yeah. I was working out this morning.
Oh, it's nice. Nice that you have time.
That was his. No, I'm quoting. I'm not saying
some of us are trying to, you know, do our jobs.
Shut up, Dan.
But that's cool.
Can I ask you really quickly, Dan? What's the one thing you're like, you're just really excited to finally be answered today?
Well, who the 49ers are
today? Thank you.
This is it. But thank you, 49ers, for dragging this out. I mean, seriously.
By the way, Broncos, where are they going?
They're probably going to make the wrong decision. You know, the Broncos are going to draft Micah Parsons. Watch it.
Yep.
Watch.
Eagles at 12.
Mack, no matter
somebody
what.
That can actually play and you could start. Maybe even a kicker. First Takes next.